we need to speak God's word. We need to speak life. And so often, especially when things are not going really well, and, you know, so often, and the news is so negative and everything you hear is so bad, that you have to almost say, I'm not going there. I'm not going there anymore. What do you say, God? What do you say? Well, God says, there's life. God says, I speak life into you. So anyway, it says, and I wanted to give this example, this one little example, and the next scripture is Matthew 8:8, and it's a story, and everybody knows it, about the centurion that comes to Jesus. And he says, my servant is grievously ill. Will you come? He says, if you will speak the word, he'll be healed. And Jesus says, you know, let's go. And he says, I am a man under authority, and so if you will just speak the word, my servant will be healed. And Jesus marveled at his faith, and his servant was healed. So if we will just go back to the word of God and line ourselves up with the word of God, no matter what the situations are on the earth, and I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I would prefer that Jesus come back today. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome? And all of this would be over. We would be in heaven with Jesus, with our loved ones. We would be rejoicing. Everything would be fine. So come quickly, Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus says this in the very last page of the very last chapter of the very last book of the Bible. Jesus says two or three times, he says, I am going to come quickly. Well, that was over 2,000 years ago. Lord, let's do it, Jesus. Let's do it. Let's come quickly. Amen. Amen. So God is a... So we see this centurion, he comes to Jesus and he says, I need my servant to be healed. And Jesus said, and he says, speak the word. All we need is God to speak the word over us. How many times have you just needed a word from God and God spoke it? Someone came by and just said, just what you needed. Amen. Amen. It says, truly, Matthew 21:21-22, I'm just reading it. It says, truly, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So what Jesus is talking about, he's saying, you know, if you say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, isn't that neat? That our, do you remember when we had the little, what was that called, Ronnie, when you had the little thing out here and we had the little, yeah, overhead projector, and that was so wonderful. And now we have these awesome overhead projectors, but they're modern. Amen. So anyway, Jesus says, if you just have faith, you can say to this mountain, be removed. Well, what is the mountain in your life today? What mountain are you dealing with? Is it doubt? Is it sickness? Is it death? Is it fear? Is it want? What is the mountains that are in your life? Are you going to speak to them and tell them to be gone in Jesus' name? Amen. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He doesn't want us to stay here and sit by under our tree and weep and wail when he's already told us what to do. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain that's in your life, and God will straighten it out for you. Amen. So let's go to the next slide. I have a whole bunch of scripture on it. But anyway, how did Abraham handled believing God? And it's up to us. One of the things we need to do, we always need to be in the word. You've got to line up the word with the word. Amen. And if you do that, it's going to happen. And every one of you, I can ask each one of you individually, when has God done this in your life? When have you spoke to the mountain and God has removed it? Amen. And every one of us could say many times over, yes, God has done that for me. He leveled the fill out. Isn't it wonderful? So anyway, here we had this centurion. He believed God. He said, if you'll just speak the word, Lord. All you had to do is speak the word, and God did speak the word. Amen. And from the very beginning, in the very first chapter of Genesis, God spoke, and it was so. So when God speaks, everybody listens. Amen. Amen. Don't you like that? When God speaks, the world pays attention. When God speaks, the universe stands still. When God speaks, and this is our Father we're talking about. He's not some far-off God, way far away in some galaxy. He's here. He's here. He's with us. He chose us to be his children, as he chose Abraham in Romans 4:14-25, which is quite a bit to read, but it's good. This is so good. You guys need to be in Romans. You need to just meditate on these scriptures this week because they're so good. And all the other scriptures that you read. Amen. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our Father inside of God in whom we believe. The God who gives life to the dead. Listen to that. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. So as we know, Abraham was an old man, and God spoke to him and said, you will have a son, and you will have sons. The sons, look at the sky, Abraham. How many stars can you count? Look at the sand, Abraham. How much sand can you count? He said, that's how many children you're going to have, offsprings you're going to have, and Abraham hasn't had any. And he says, but God says, but with me, it's possible. No, it's not possible with you, but with me, it is possible. So it says, without weakening in faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, yet because she was only 90. Amen. She was relatively young. It says, so without weakening in his faith in Sarah's womb, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God has power to do what he has promised. That is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness for us, who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So the neat thing about our father Abraham is he did not waver. Can you believe that? I mean, do you waver? I do. Sometimes I'm afraid. It's like, you know, the song, you know, fresh fire fall. Yes, God, let's send the fresh fire. Could we take it if fresh fire fell? It burned up. Everything was not of God. How much would be left? We would be sitting here in ashes. Amen. But it said Abraham wavered not. Let's be a people that waver not. Amen. I think that is so neat. And it says being fully persuaded. First of all, Abraham had to believe what God said was true. And he did. He said he was fully persuaded. Not just a little bit. Well, maybe. Maybe if I'm good. Maybe if I can, you know, work up a little bit of faith, God will do this. Maybe, maybe. But no, it says he was fully persuaded that what God had said, even though he was 100 years old, his wife Sarah was 90 years old, and if God said, I can have a son, I will have a son, and this son, by the time it's over, by the time Jesus comes back and collects his church, my descendants will be as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. Isn't that awesome? Is not our God powerful and wonderful and mighty? Amen. Amen. So God is so good, and we love Father Abraham. Remember when you were in Sunday school, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. Amen. Wasn't this good? So anyway, so we go on, and we see Abraham, our father, the father of faith. We have him as our example. We can always go, is your situation so bad that you're 100 years old, and God has told me I'm going to have a son? And you say, God, how is this possible? But you are fully persuaded that what God has promised can come to pass. So let's believe big. Amen. So let's believe big. God has been so faithful to me through the years. Just everything truly that I have needed. And I think that I could have gotten, he would have even blessed me more if I had believed more. But I was sort of satisfied with where I was. Do you guys get there sometimes? We'll just accept where we are. I mean, life is good. Amen. But maybe God wanted it to be bigger, better. Amen. But all we can do is ask God to forgive us and enlarge us, because it's not too late. We're not 100 yet. Amen. Amen. So, Francis, we have many years left, don't we? We're just starting here. There's no telling what God will do. And really, we need to believe that, because just because we've gotten some years on us doesn't mean God can't use us. As a matter of fact, we have more time to set ourselves aside to seek God. To seek God. And I was talking to Monica one day, and she was telling me what she does, and it's awesome. She seeks God. Amen. And she seeks God for us. And that's what we need. We need to seek God for each other. We need to believe God. Amen. Okay, the next one is Romans 10, chapter 10, 8 through 13. Isn't Romans wonderful? Isn't it just the most wonderful book you've ever read? And the neat thing about God's word is it never, never, never gets old. It's brand new all the time. Amen. Okay, it says, but what does it say? The word is near you. Where is it? It's near us. In your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? If we call upon the name of the Lord, we'll be saved. But what do we have to do? We have to call upon the name of the Lord. There's something that we have to do. We can't sit back and take a chance. Well, God knows my heart. He wants to hear it. Of course he knows your heart, but he wants to hear it from you. I need you, Lord. I have to have you, Lord. Amen. So he listens for those words to come out, those words of life. Remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Well, we want to speak life. We don't want to speak death. We don't want to speak death over our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids. Sometimes that is so hard because it's there in front of us. But we have to choose life for them. Amen. Even if they don't even know they need life, we have to speak life. Amen. And not give up. And perhaps this is the reason we're here. We'll be praying for them. Sometimes if you're sitting here today, it's because somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for you. Back there, somebody prayed for you. And you are here today serving God because of that. So keep praying, folks. Don't give up. Don't give up. Okay, we're going to veer off and do this. This is, I don't know where we're at here. John 4:4. This is a wonderful story. And I wanted to use it as an example of how much does God love you? How much does God love you? Well, we know he loves us a whole bunch. But this is really a neat story. This is about a little lady, a little Samaritan lady, that you would not invite this particular lady for tea. Probably. Right, Dana? Amen. Because in that day, and go back to the culture of that day. A lot of times when we read the Bible, we need to read in the what is going on in that day, in that period. Well, we know that in this particular period, okay, first of all, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't have anything to do with each other because the Jews were pure blood, Samaritans were mixed. So the Jews looked down on the Samaritans and didn't have anything to do with them in the first place. They were a lower class people. So she had that against her to start with. And then she had other things that were against her. But what's neat, and I want to bring it, is Jesus is in Judea, he's preaching, and all of a sudden he leaves. Because he has to go through Samaria. Well, why does he have to go to Samaria? He doesn't have to go there, but he goes there. Because he says, now he had to go through Samaritan. And one translation says he needed to go there. Needed to go there because it was one little lady that needed Jesus. And she was going to be the evangelist of this community. And God knew that this woman needed him and her heart was ready for him. So Jesus shows up, and he's tired. He's weary. He's sitting by the well. His disciples go in to buy food, and this little Samaritan lady shows up. Of course, God knew she was going to show up, and it was in the middle of the day, the heat of the day. She should not have been there. She should have been there in the morning, but the reason she was there because she was probably shunned by the whole neighborhood. Nobody wanted to see this woman. Why didn't they care about her? Well, she had a messy background. And as you read the story, It goes on to say that she starts talking to Jesus. Well, Jesus asks her for water, and she says, why are you talking to me? You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. Plus, women were not supposed to talk to men. Jewish women, men did not talk to women. And so everything that Jesus was doing was not up to par. What is he up to? You know, here he's doing this strange thing. So Jesus begins to talk to her and says, if you knew the water I could give you, you would never thirst again. And she said, man, I could use that. She's thinking of the natural. He's talking about the spiritual. But he's got her attention. And he says, so they're talking. And he says, go get your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. And he says, you speak true. You had five husbands, and the guy you're living with now isn't your husband. Well, that was pretty bad right there, right? Here Jesus is talking to a fallen woman, five husbands. So anyway, she's talking to him. The woman said, the woman says, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declares, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. He reveals himself as the Son of God to this fallen woman that he shouldn't have even been talking to. But she knows that she needs him, and he knows her heart is ready. And he loves her so much that he makes a side trip through Samaria just to talk to her about how much he loves her. And she says, I know the Messiah is coming. He says, I am the Messiah. He reveals himself to this woman, I think the first person he reveals himself to. And she leaves everything and runs into the village and says, let me tell you about this man I just met. And everybody listens to her because they know her. And so they all rush out to see Jesus because they're so excited, because this woman is the Samaritan lady. But God is so awesome because he seeks her out. And that's what I wanted to bring out this morning. God will seek you out for blessings. He will seek you out because he loves you. He will let you know in 50,000 ways how much he loves you. He seeks this lady out. He seeks her out because he loves her. And this is a story of real love. Why did God seek you out? Why did he seek this little country girl, farm girl from Fidelis? Why did he seek me out? I'm so grateful he sought me out. Aren't you glad he sought you out? That he went through Samaria if he had to. He'd go through anything to get to you. Because you are how much he loves you. He loves you so very much. Sometimes we forget that love, and sometimes the world tells us, like it told that lady, why would anybody love you? You are such a mess. But Jesus says, I do. I love you. And when we were down in Skid Row, there was a lady, and we called her Shopping Bag Edith. I'm not quite sure why we put the shopping bag in front of her name, but everybody called her Shopping Bag Edith, and she had everything she owned in the shopping bag. But she would come to the mission every service. Of course, she came for food, but she would also listen to the word. And I've often wondered, what happened to Edith? I'll just call her Edith. But she would be there, and she was such a mess. And I remember she never combed her hair. And I remember I took Rhonda down one night. Occasionally, Rhonda and Michael would go down with us. And Rhonda told me, she said, she needs to comb her hair, Mama. And I said, I think it's too late. But, when I think about working, when I think about being down at the Skid Row Mission, being in that work, it's like, how much does God love them? Well, we know how much he loved them. He loves them. He loves them so much. And that was one of the things that God really revealed to me while we were down there, is how much God loves these people. God loves everybody. But there isn't anybody that he doesn't love. There isn't anybody that he won't seek out. And and one of the things that I pray possibly more than anything else about Victory is that we really become a soul-winning church. We need to win souls. We need, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But we know that one day we will face God. We know there's two alternatives. It will either be heaven or hell. So when we look at our fellow man, and they can be a mess, or they look wonderful, wonderful, they need Jesus. If they need Jesus, they need Jesus. And there's nothing that's more important than that. Amen? So we need to pray, pray, pray. Anyway, this little Samaritan woman that had nothing going for herself all immediately becomes a daughter of the king. She is adopted into the family of God, and she is a joint heir with Jesus. Think of the promotion immediately. If we accept Jesus as our Savior, and I think everybody has accepted Jesus as their Savior in here, we, no matter what we were before, we are brought into the kingdom of God. We are in the family of God. We are immediately in that family. And the Bible says that we are not only heirs, but joint heirs with Jesus. And that's an awesome thought. We are elevated into the presence of God. We are children of the Most High God. We are somebody. Amen? So one day we will spend eternity with Jesus in heaven or on earth or wherever he has us at that particular time. But we're going to be with him. Let's go to the next slide. And I wanted to use the Samaritan lady as the guide for this. And it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And I wanted to bring that out because it says, you know, speak the word. It says life and death is in the power of the tongue. Well, that isn't a get-rich scheme. God, I need a new house. God, I need a new car. God, you know, this isn't for our benefit. It's for the world's benefit, although God will give us all that stuff. But it doesn't, it's secondary. It's not important. God will just bless us because we're his kids. If you need a new refrigerator, God will give you a new refrigerator. If you need a new dishwasher, God will give you a new dishwasher. God, I mean, these are secondary things. What God is interested in is people, people, people. But remember the lady that was brought to Jesus in adultery, and the Pharisees, the teachers, wanted her to be stoned to death, and Jesus prevented that from happening. But one thing he told her, he said, go and sin no more. In other words, don't come back tomorrow. Don't let them see me dragging you back tomorrow. Don't keep on sinning. See, God wants us to have the best life possible, but we can't have the best life possible if we keep on sinning. He wants us to clean up our life, our lives. Amen? So if you have a problem with sin, get rid of it. Take it to the cross. Crucify it. Don't put up with it. You don't need it. It just pulls you down. So the 13th verse says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So there he tells us in one sentence or two sentences what to do. Amen. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We want to be the children of God. Thank you, Lord, that we can be led by your Spirit. The Spirit you receive doesn't make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption into sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Isn't that a beautiful verse? So we are brought into the family of God. We become children of God. And we are so close to the Father, we can call him Daddy. We can call him Daddy. So Abba, Father, so that becomes our family. And we says, and the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. Isn't that beautiful? So we are elevated into his presence. We are made children, we are adopted into the family. We are co-heirs with Jesus. We are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. Isn't that awesome? And then the little verse is, if indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may all share in his glory. We don't like to suffer. But unfortunately in this world, whether we have Jesus or not, we're going to suffer because this world brings suffering. Amen? But it's in this world that we grow up. This is our school. This is our schoolhouse. And hopefully that when we get over there, we'll have an A+ on our diploma, and Jesus will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear, amen. Well done, amen. So this little Samaritan lady went from being the lady in town that one didn't want to have anything to do with to be a daughter of the king, amen. Like Queen Esther, she is promoted into his presence. So let's go to the next slide. Isn't that wonderful, though? We should just stay. We could live in Romans. It's such a good, awesome book. So we know that we are adopted in the family. We're joint heirs with Christ. God has all these wonderful benefits for us, and he loves us so very much. How much does he love us? It just goes. So Galatians 3:26-29 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. How are we children of God through faith? For all of you were baptized into Christ and clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And I thought these verses were so neat, and I just sort of wondered on them the other day. And it just came to me, go back to that day. Go back 2,000 years ago. What was the situation in those days? These almost don't seem relatable to us today, but listen to this. Go back 2,000 years, it says, you are neither Jew nor Greek. Where were the Jews? The Jews had got God's law. They were God's children, God's special children. You were born a Jew, and you were always a Jew. And the Greeks, what were the Greeks? They were the intellectual people of that day. If you were a Greek, you were intellectual. You had all of this knowledge, and everybody else was below you. You were either, so the Jews thought they were the best. The Greeks knew they were the best, right? Because they were smart. They were intelligent. They were intellectual giants. So all of those people that came from the Greeks. Anyway, God is so good. Isn't it wonderful? But anyway, he says here, and I thought this was so neat because look at that day. So he's saying there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. Now you were either a free man, or if you were a slave, you were a slave until you died, unless your master was really kind and good and let you free when he died. But when you were born free, you were free. But when you were born a slave, you were a slave. And yet he uses these two totally different, 5 trillion miles away from each other, to say, there is neither slave nor free in my kingdom. You're all free. Isn't that awesome? You're neither Jew nor Gentile, slaves nor free, nor is there a male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus leveled the field. What did it mean to be a woman in those days? Well, you were born to do one thing, and that was to produce children. And that was it. The Greeks thought you were even less than that. They put homosexuality above being a woman, because a woman could only reproduce. I don't know. But anyway, but Jesus says there's neither male nor female. Obviously, he knows our gender. But when he looks at us, we're all on the same field. We're free. We're free. Amen. Amen. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. That, what about Islam? We'll take that for a second. What does it believe? Well, we can look at different countries, nations right now where the women, if you are a woman, you are suffering greatly because they are still there. They're still there. Where there's 10,000 miles difference from being a male or female. But God has made us free. God has made us free in Christ Jesus. I thought that was so neat because we have, you know, what has brought us so far? Jesus, the gospel. Jesus has brought us. He made the field level for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Go on with Galatians 4, 4 through 7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son. Wasn't that awesome? The fullness of time. There's a time, and there will be a time when Jesus will come back, and he will set up his kingdom, and we will be a part of that kingdom forever. It says, when this time set had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Isn't that neat? We're back to being adopted into the family. We are unique of all the families on the face of the earth. God chose us to be his children. We are so rich indeed. And I hope you guys just are so grateful that we never forget where we came from, but this is where we're at today. This is where we're at today. It doesn't matter where we came from. We could have been that Samaritan woman. It doesn't matter. We could have been the woman caught in adultery. It doesn't matter. Today, this is where we are. This is where we are today. When the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. So we have been adopted into this family of God. And I hope that you guys just so rejoicing over that fact, because it's so wonderful, because you are his sons. God sent the spirit of his son into his hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, you're no longer Greek, you're no longer Jew, you're no longer male, you're no longer female, but you are God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So aren't we rich today? So, I mean, are we not rich? It doesn't matter what your bank account says, it doesn't matter what the situation is, you are rich indeed. Nothing can take that away from you. You are God's child. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. And you know, I just so, so grateful that God found me. Aren't you so grateful that he found you? That you were, we are the elite of the earth. We're the elite of the universe. When people see us, they say, well, you better take care. I belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My daddy owns this whole universe. So take it up with him. Amen. That happened. That happened with Fred one time. He was ministering in Oregon, and the church that he was at was in a terrible mess. They were taking out bankruptcy. The whole church was in a terrible mess. And Fred had gotten there to pray early, and he was like on the third floor of this, wherever. But anyway, this huge demonic angel came into the room. He thought it was on a ledge, but there was no ledge. It was like he was out there, and he said, if you don't get out of here, I'm going to destroy you. And Fred said, take it up with my big brother. And he just vanished like that. He was gone. So did Fred have the authority to tell him that? Yes, he did. And that demon knew he had the authority, and he left. Because he couldn't face Jesus. Couldn't face his big brother. He'd already lost. Amen. Isn't it neat to belong to Jesus today? I know there's a lot of scripture we covered. And I didn't go into depth, but all of you know it anyway. Everybody's familiar with these scriptures. But sometimes we just need to have them renewed in our mind. Really take time to seek God during this time that we're in, because we need to pray for our nation. Our nation's in terror. If you watch the news, and please don't watch the news a lot. Just get the, I know what to pray about, because it will just drive you crazy. But because there's nothing good there. But remember that God has us here on this earth to do some things, and that's one thing is to pray for the church, pray for each other, pray for the nations. I've shared this before, but several months back, it was like the Lord put it on my heart to start praying for different nations. Well, I really heard a testimony about this person that God had told him, pray for Brazil. Well, how often do you pray for Brazil? I don't even think about Brazil. I have nothing against Brazil, but I just don't think about it a lot. So if God puts a nation on your heart, it's because he wants you to pray for that nation.